And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah, and in chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. And as we open, perhaps we can look to the Lord. And our Father and God, we've opened thy word, Spirit of God, to be believed, to be resting on by faith what you've said, that God, we may have attached our heart and mind to what you said. And so the evidence, we believe our faith, resting in your word, looking to you, to our work, your own word, in your own way, for your own reasons. And our God, we thank you very much. So here we are, God. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 5, 45, and you would recall God's wonderful saving grace when Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He fulfilled Genesis 3 and 15. He was to be born of a woman. Now, the first Adam gets us in, the first Adam. And we're all, when Adam and Eve were born, us humans came along. That's why we're here. We were all found in the wonderful person of Adam way back there. And we're the result. God has to finish all the humans that he has that made, created. He died for them. All of us have to be created. The first Adam gets us in. Physical birth for spiritual birth. In the Adam, in Adam, we find Mary and Joseph, and we find Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of Mary, born of Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. Christ, the last Adam, has to be put in to the line of us humans. And when Christ died on the cross, he came. The first Adam gets us into sin. The last Adam gets us out of sin. He was born to take care of that sin. Now, putting that together, where we are. Isaiah chapter 45, Israel was to enjoy. What was Israel supposed to understand? Chapter 45, picking up, please, in verse, excuse me, I said 45, 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. And going directly to the statement, verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Why do you take care of our sins? For mine own sake, and will not, N-O-T, remember your sins. I will not remember thy sins. I will not do that. Do it again. Chapter 44. And if I can, verse 22. Just turning the pages, what were they to understand? Christ was going to go to the cross and die and pay the penalty. The wages of sin is death. We're all born dead in sins. Christ came to put life, to pay the penalty so that we could have life. So chapter 44, if I can, verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I've put them aside. Clear, simple statements. One after another. I have taken care of your sin, and you need to believe, just like we know. Now, having said that little bit, what did you know when John the Baptist came and his ministry, John 1 and 29? He said, he pointed, there was the Lord walking, and the Lord, John pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." That's what he said. There's the Lamb. He died to do what? To take away the sins. That's why he could say, I don't hold anything against you, Israel. I want you to believe. I'm going to go to the cross and pay the penalty. Now do it again so you see it. Further, our Lord comes along and has to go to the cross. When he goes to the cross, Luke chapter 23. And in Luke chapter 23, and of his seven words in the cross, etc., chapter 23, and they're crucifying him. And you can just imagine that in an awesome way, pounding the nails into his hands and feet. That's what he did. And what did he say? Chapter 23, picking up, please, in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors, criminals, on each side of him, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They don't know what they're doing. God knows what he's doing. They didn't know. And you know, without turning there, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and 7 and that, the Lord, Paul says, listen, to 1 Corinthians 2, if the people knew, if the rulers knew, because they yell, "Crucify him," the Pharisees, etc. If the rulers knew what they were doing, they would have never done it. By that I mean, if they knew who he was, they would have never touched him. He would have had to go to the cross anyway. But they, all of that, having said, what happens, what if, and all that, they're going to do what they're going to do, and God's going to work it out in his most wonderful way. So therefore, we share together in Romans 6 and 23. Over in Romans 6 and 23, as you know, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. And what do you do? What do we know? When Christ died on the cross, he did something wonderful for us. Now, you know, 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's why Christ had to die. Christ took our sin in his own body on the tree. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and died. That's why he died. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Simple, clear, straightforward. That's what he did. He made forgiveness possible now. And therefore, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In that context of chapter 6, verse 23, go over to the beginning of chapter 6, which is the gospel. Christ died, was buried, and rose again, making possible what? Translating that word gospel. In chapter 15 of Corinthians, Christ died, was buried, and rose again into where we are. Chapter 6 and in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him. buried with him into baptism, identification, like we shared this morning, the water in the sponge in the water. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Because of the gospel, Christ died for us, buried our sins, and rose again to give us a wonderful new relationship to himself. 2 Corinthians 5, you don't have to turn there. We're born. Therefore, if any man, woman, boy, or girl, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, have received him as a Savior, they become a new creature. All things have passed away, and everything becomes new. They are wonderfully, wonderfully forgiven. Now, hang on to that. Now, having got that part, Christ died to pay the price. We had a problem of sin. Now, and in doing that, just one other thing that will help. Go over with me one other thing that will help us. Over to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 8, as you would note. And in chapter 8, going directly in the light of the context, chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 24. 8:24, Gospel of John. I said, therefore, unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Not because of your sins, in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. I have forgiven them. Given you. And I put them away and will make you a new creature in Christ. But if you don't believe me, then you're going to die in that sinful state that you are in with your old nature. You're going to die. And chapter 16 now. And in chapter 16, picking up, if I may, and you will note, it isn't because of sins. Christ died for sins. He died for them. That's why Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Christ the seed of the woman. Christ is going to die. That's why I could say to Israel, I have nothing against you. For my own sake, I will not remember your sins. I have put them aside. You haven't gone to the cross yet. No, I haven't. But I'm going to. And when I go, your sins, I've already taken care of them. The Lamb of God is to be crucified. Therefore, chapter 16. And so it isn't because of your sins, as you know. You know all these things. Verse 8. And when he has come, the Spirit of God, he will reprove, convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, singular. What sin, singular, not sins, sin. What is the sin? Verse 9, because they believe not on me. John 8:24 again, if you don't believe me, you will die in your sins. The only thing you've got a problem with is your relationship to who I am. I've already died and paid the price for your sin. That's why I can tell you, just believe me, and you'll be saved. I didn't ask you to have a big discussion with you about your life. I want you to go and just believe me and understand you've got a problem, dead in sins, and you need to have life. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Now, having said that, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 1, And you will note, Ephesians chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse, going directly now to verse 7. Remember what you're looking at. You're looking at what? God has put away our sins when he died on the cross. The one thing he says is, since I already did this, since it's already done, the only thing you have to think about is to understand you need to have, but take advantage of what I have done on Calvary's cross. If you reject Calvary's cross, you will die in your sins. You have no Savior, and you have no solution. So now, Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. God has done what? Christ died on the cross, and according to the riches for the forgiveness, the redemption, verse 7, for the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Now, and the forgiveness. Forgiveness means dropping of the debt, dropping of pardon, to be debt-free, to take care of what you owe, to pardon the sin, to give you a freedom, a pardon, debt-free. All the problems are done. Different. That's one word that we're going to look at. Now, another word, the same word English, forgive, but it's a different word. Now, the verse 7, he forgave your sins according to the riches of his grace. And that's what he did for us. Now, always connecting chapter 4. And in chapter 4, and you would recall, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. That word forgiving comes from the word grace. Grace, to be gracious, to be favorable, to be self-favorable, to drop the debt, to pardon you, to forgive you. Gracious, God's favored you to forgive you, to pardon, to same thing when you end up talking about it. He's going to forgive you, to put it aside. He isn't going to remember it at all. And therefore, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Since God, when Christ died on the cross, he paid for all your sin. From the day you were born to the day you die, your old nature and the whole realm of your earthly life, Christ paid the price for you being a human and living on earth. He paid the price. Price is paid. All you have to do is believe. He understands your death, spiritual death, and he provides to you spiritual life. Now, so therefore, he is forgiving you, period. When is he forgiving you? How does he have to keep forgiving you? No, in the sense, it's done. He's done. He paid the finish. You're to be what? A new creature in Christ. Reckon it, Romans 6:11. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. Reckon it so. Calculate. You've been forgiven. Then live as a forgiven sinner, as it were. Live in the light of your old nature. Isn't going to go away. You got to live with it. But in the same time, God has taken care of it, and you are forgiven. Therefore, when are you forgiven? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You've been forgiven, period. I'm done. I'm finished. You're forgiven. Now, and therefore, as a forgiven sinner, you ought to show you're living if you live and you're forgiven. If you're saved, you live your life trusting Christ. And trusting Christ, what happened? What do you know? You're forgiven. And your old nature is there. Every single day, 24 hours a day, it never stops. And fortunately, God said, I took care of every day that you live, every second you live on earth. I have covered my bases. I died to cover all your sin. You are forgiven. So we are to what? We are sinners. We live. We are to enjoy a relationship to God. We are forgiven. Wonderfully, wonderfully forgiven. And now we have to understand and practice that, because that's a reality. Let me do it another way. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, He saved you. He gave you His life. Now you have to exercise the life. He isn't going to give you more life. He gave you His life. Now exercise His life. You've been forgiven. Exercise being forgiven. You're freed. So you don't go through all the different realms. Your old nature will take you in all kinds of journeys because of sin. Whether in all kinds of different ways, we'll see it. Just a couple of minutes, you'll see it. Now, would you let me lock that in again. Again, Colossians, as you know, and in Colossians, picking up, please, in chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Now we're looking at the word forgiveness now still, but this word staying with the word grace, grace being grace, to give you grace, to give you favor, to give you forgiveness, to pardon you in God's grace, in God's favor. So here we are, Colossians, and in chapter 2, you're ahead of me, and in Colossians 2, picking up, please, in verse 14, buried with Him by baptism, wherein also you were risen with Him through faith, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He, He died on the cross, was buried, and He rose again. He took our death, took us to die, and we died. And He gives us His life. And I'll read verse 13 then again. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's a fact of life. That's a fact. When you're saved, you are one forgiven rascal. That's what you are. You're just plain old forgiven. You say, it's just like every, yes, I am. I sing about the same old nature everyone else does. But God has forgiven me. And I can live with my old nature and my lousy everything because I'm not trusting that. I'm trusting what God has done. And God said, I'm finished with it and I'm going to reckon it so. If I reckon it so, chapter 3, verse 13. And chapter 3 and verse 13. And picking up again, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You have to practice it. Practice forgiveness. If you're being forgiven, forgiveness, failing to forgive, will eat you up in some way. Everything that you don't keep in order in your life, it'll cause doubt, fear, depression, anxiety, disappointment, anger, bitterness. I mean, light them up. Where's it come from? You aren't understanding God has taken and forgiven you. And since you should be forgiven, practice, enjoy being forgiven. If you enjoy being forgiven, you'll be forgiving others. You just be doing it. Why? Why are you going to do it? Because God is forgiving you right now. You're enjoying being forgiven. And if I'm enjoying really being forgiven, I'm going to definitely forgive, no matter who does what. Do you understand? Otherwise, it will eat you up, and you don't want to do that. So therefore, again, if even verse 13, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you likewise. So we go, and we're going to go, 1 John chapter 7. And you're going to do, and 1 John, you can see how verses repeat, the very, all of these things you keep looking at keep you, they're functional. They give you purpose, function. You know how to think, you know how to walk, you know how to eat your food, you know how to go through heartache and headache. Why? Because you're working with these things. You know you've been forgiven. So there's no way they're going to get me. God, you're forgiving me. And I have nothing, and I literally, fortunately, in God's kindness, in my little life, I don't hold any, I told you that 1,000 times, but it is true. It's one thing I don't, you all have the same thing, I'm sure. I hold nothing against anybody my whole life. I don't hold anybody. And things have done very bad, very bad. I never have held anything against anybody. Never. No matter what. You could shoot me in the, anyway, and whatever. That won't make any difference. I'll just stay out of the way next time I see you. Understand? Now, 1 John. It works. You're forgiven. Practice being forgiven. Now, 1 John, chapter 1. You know, it's that's what it's all about. You know, verse 5. This then is the message which we'd heard of him. Chapter 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Verse 7. If we walk in the light, and God is light, as he, God, is in the light and is in no darkness, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. That's what it does. And you know, without turning there, if you went to Leviticus 8, chapter 16, went to Leviticus 16 and 18 right in there, what do we know? Day of Atonement. God says, listen, I'm going to go, and they're going to go to the altar with your animals and the blood is going to what? I'm going to see, the Lord said, I'm going to see the blood. When I see the blood, I'll count you as clean. When I see the blood of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, pays the price for all our sin. When I see my blood, you'll be clean. I see you in my Son. I see you in the blood, and you're clean. Why are you clean? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood does. It does it. What makes you clean? Christ died on the cross and paid the price for all of our sin. Now, and therefore, and you know all the time that's true, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not. All the time, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, you have an old nature, and you're never making believe you don't. You're very really, when you walk in the light, what are you doing? You recognize you have an old nature. And if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. So we understand I got an old nature, and it does everything to me, against others. I need to practice what? To walk in the light. And if something comes up, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in God's wonderful way. Now, go over a little illustration. Our time is gone. I don't know how it quite happened, but anyway, what can I tell you? I was going to complain to Steve. I said, Steve, you could sing another song. Sing a song. You give me, I don't want all the time. I don't know what to do. And now here it's all gone anyway. What can I tell you? Now, but if you would, over to, in God's word, over to Matthew. And in Matthew, if I can, chapter 18. Wonderful way to see it. Matthew chapter 18. Luke is the same, different, a little different, but the same. And in Matthew chapter 18, God gives Peter, you know it, you already know these things. Matthew chapter 18, go if I can to Peter, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And then Peter, being very generous, said 7 times. Now remember, the rabbinical, had 3 times. 3 times. And Peter thought he'd be generous and make it 7. Peter looks pretty good. The rabbi said 3. Peter says, I'll 7 times. And I can just imagine Peter saying that. Now, verse 22, Jesus answered unto him, I say not unto thee, until 70 times, but until 70 times 7, 490 times, you forgive. Now that's crazy. What he's saying is, you forgive as I have forgiven you, Peter. As I am forgiving you, you forgive others. You just do that. And there is no number. 7,000, 7 million times, you forgive 7 million times. Don't let it get into your sense, into your mind and heart, where you build that kind of thing, because it'll kill you. It'll kill you, and you can't have fellowship. How are you going to have fellowship if you've got that unforgiveness? You're enjoying God's wonderful presence because you have been what? Forgiven. And if you, let me keep reading so you see it. Therefore, our Lord giving an example, therefore he gives the illustration. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take into account his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a few million dollars. That's a lot. Verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And so the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. All right, I'm going to forgive you the debt. Now, verse 28. But the same servant went out after having been forgiven millions of dollars. Been forgiven. The same servant went out the door having been forgiven. Verse 28. And found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. A pence is a day's wages. 100 pence is 100 days. This fellow owes him 100 days worth of pay. Not millions, not talents, pences. 100 days 1 pence a day. And in the process, verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down into his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he, verse 30, he would not in OT, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done to the master. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. And shouldst not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to his tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So, verse 35, so likewise, King, the Heavenly Father, so likewise shall my Heavenly Father do also unto you. This is our Lord speaking. If you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. In other words, you have been forgiven by God, and you better be forgiving. If God has forgiven you a whole lifetime, and you had an event, and you can't forgive an event when you're being totally forgiven from head to toe so that you are free. God said, I'm not happy with that. You want to have fellowship? I don't think so. Not much. You have to be what? Practice. God is forgiving you everything. Therefore, you can forgive anything. How's that? Well, God forgives you in everything. And you can forgive anything. Just one thing. Say, can. Can't do that. Can't do that. If I have forgiven you, you need to forgive others in God's wonderful, wonderful kindness, in God's wonderful way. And therefore, God, what are we going to do? God, we're going to look to you and do a wonderful thing in our head and heart. And God, you've judged us. And we, 1 Corinthians 11 and all that, if we confess our sins, faithful and just, give us. We judge ourselves, we already were judged, and not be condemned with the world. 1 Corinthians 11. So God, what are you going to do in your most wonderful way? Your life, our life is found in your life. And thank you, God, no matter how bad anything, and the guilt and all these things come in into our head and heart, and God has forgiven us. And now I don't have to, God, are you going to forgive me? God, will God forgive me? Maybe God will forgive me. I know. He has forgiven you. And you, no matter what you think, God has forgiven you in his most wonderful, wonderful way. That's a fact of life. Otherwise, you couldn't be saved. So all the dumb things in your thoughts, God has taken them to the cross and forgiven you. And you need to enjoy being forgiven. Do you know years ago we used the illustration, because up in Cambridge, Somerville, where I was raised, and all of that, up Mount Auburn Cemetery, maybe. I can't forget, so long ago. And in that cemetery, going to old cemeteries, you learn a lot. And in the old cemetery, here's a stone, just a stone. And there's only one word in it, forgiven. Only one word on that stone. Forgiven. That says a thousand words. Forgiven. Yeah. Forgiven. What are we doing? Do this in remembrance of me. I have forgiven you. Practice, enjoy being forgiven. Period. And don't let anything get in there and louse it up. Confess your sin quickly when it starts building up and stuff. Get rid of it and just enjoy right now, all the way into forever, being forgiven. Practice being forgiven. Yeah. Now, so we're going to sing a stanza, if we may. We may have number 57 as the men come. And appreciate your patience. Number 57. And we'll take of the Lord's table. Number 5, 7, if you would.